Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. Reformation Mission is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to the Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm John Ehlers, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent. I'd like to invite you to come along to one of our divine services. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. If you don't live in our area, why not go to the ELCE's website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory, and find the nearest Lutheran congregation to where you live. Go along and pay them a visit. I'm sure that you would receive a very warm welcome. Today, we're very excited to have with us Dr. Gregory Seltz. Dr. Seltz is the speaker of the Lutheran Hour, the longest-running religious broadcast in the United States. Dr. Seltz, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you.
And can you please give us a history of the Lutheran Hour?
Well, the Lutheran Hour is actually the longest-running radio program in the world. We've been on the air for over 85 years, and it's a message of the good news of the gospel, and it was started in the United States in the Great Depression. So if you can imagine, at a time when there was very little resources, the Lutheran Church said, we've got to get this message of the hope of Jesus Christ out to the world in which we live. And I am the eighth Lutheran Hour speaker, so we have been around a while, but we're still bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church.
I understand that the Lutheran Hour began on CBS Radio?
Correct, yes. We followed the nationally broadcast show called The Shadow, which was the number one radio program in the country at the time, and Lutheran Hour came on right after that.
How many listeners did it have then?
Well, you know, it's hard to say how many we had then. What we have now is 1,600 stations. We have over a million folks listening in. But yeah, at one time, Lutheran Hour and Lutheran Hour Ministries was one of the biggest broadcasts in the United States.
You said that you're still currently very active on a whole number of stations in the U.S. and around the world?
Yes, well, 1,600 here in the United States and in 33 countries around the world. So it truly is an international ministry, and it's a ministry that's still growing here at home.
How did you become the Lutheran Hour speaker?
Well, that's an interesting story. The short version is this. I was teaching Bible study at a congregation, and one of the ladies said to me, the Lutheran Hour speaker's retiring. That's Ken Klaus. And would you be interested? And I said, well, yes, I'd put my name in. And there were 150 candidates, and I guess they got down to the three of us, and then I was chosen. It was a big change for me, though, to go from urban church planting ministry to a radio ministry.
Can you tell us about what some of your activities include?
Well, presently, as Lutheran Hour speaker, of course, I'm on the radio, but I preach in church still quite a bit. I'm actually speaking at churches all around the country and as well as in different other countries around the world. And this is a mission organization. Our goal is to equip people to share the good news of the gospel. And the Lutheran Hour is meant to be that first word of the gospel that goes out ahead of our churches to actually bless people so that they might even be more open when people can share their faith with others.
You talk about how the Lutheran Hour hopes to equip the church around the world. Can you give us some things that you're currently doing?
Well, around the world, you know, our goal is, again, to get people to know who this Jesus is. So all of our resources, whether they be video resources, educational resources, or radio resources, they're geared towards getting people to know who this Jesus is for them. And so we do it in multiple languages, multiple cultures all around the world. But again, even here in the United States, it's a tough world to share the good news of the gospel. And we've got to find ways to bridge that gospel to a new generation of people.
In the United Kingdom, the Lutheran Hour can be found on our Lutheran Radio UK. You also mentioned videos and other items. Where can we find those?
Well, you can always come to lhm.org, which is our website, and there's all kinds of free resources, devotional resources, video resources, Bible study resources, and of course, 10 years worth of Lutheran Hour preaching is on that resource as well. So if you want resources that focus you on who this Jesus is of the scripture for you, it's all there, and it's meant to be used. So I'd encourage anybody who's listening today to go, because a lot of it's just for free.
We'd also like to encourage our listeners to check that out. You mentioned that you do a lot of traveling and that this is a worldwide outreach. This month, you'll be coming to England and speaking at the Christian Resources Exhibition. Can you tell us a bit about what you'll be saying to us?
First of all, what excites me about being a part of that is that I'm still a pastor at heart, and most of my ministry history has been as a church planter. I was a pastor in New York City. I was a pastor in Los Angeles, starting churches in those big cities. And I've always had a heart for actually bringing the good news of the gospel to places where it isn't. And so I'm coming more with a pastoral heart, with a missional heart, to be with the people of God there in England. And the first thing I'm going to be talking about at the CRE is we're going to be talking about the Reformation. And we're talking about the power of the Reformation, the message of the Reformation. But I'm not going to be doing a historical work there as much as I'm going to be talking about Reformation mission. When you think about it this way, the just will live by faith, Luther rediscovered, not faith in their works, but faith in the works of God in Jesus Christ on our behalf. Well, that was something that cleansed the church, that reformed the church, and it gave people a sense of joy again in their life and their relationship to God. But what we're talking about now is the missional motivation, the dynamic of that message that still wants to reach out to those who don't know it. And it always goes back to the heart of God, who is willing to come on this mission for us so that we could live by grace through faith in Him. Well, that compels us to live missionally for the sake of our neighbor. And so we're going to talk about Reformation mission and how God is actually equipping us to be those people in this world today.
Just to let our listeners know that you'll be speaking on Wednesday, the 18th of May at 4 p.m. at the Christian Resources Exhibition, which is held at the XL Center in London, and everyone is invited along. You will also be speaking to our pastors and our laymen later that week. Can you tell us about what you'll be talking to them about?
Well, that one's going to be a little bit different, although I think there'll be blessings for anybody, lay folk or even pastors if they happen to be there. That's going to be Christian. The title's called Christian Confidence When Worldviews Collide. And so it's going to be talking more about the reality of ministry today in the world in which we live. Worldviews are colliding all over the place, not just in the macro, like countries colliding, but even in our neighborhoods, even in our families, where these worldviews, how people think about things, how they try to hold things together, those worldviews are colliding. Well, the point is what's a Christian to be about in the middle of those worldview collisions? And here's the key, that there's a confidence that Christ wants us to have there, not in ourselves, not even in our cultural garb, but in who Jesus Christ is for us and even for others. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Again, we invite our listeners to attend that conference, which will be held on Saturday, the 21st of May, at Resurrection Lutheran Church in Cambridge. Now, your topic at the Christian Resources Exhibition is Reformation and Mission. But when most people think about the Lutheran Reformation, they don't really think about mission. Do the two go together?
Yeah, and I think that's what's sad, because in a way you can't really understand the Reformation until you realize that it was Christ on a mission for you and for me. I mean, he leaves heaven and does all things well for us while we were yet sinners. And what Luther's rediscovering is the fact that our faith is in the faith of the works of Jesus Christ, to his righteousness. The just will live by faith. Well, when you really understand that message, there is a mission built into it already. It's a Reformation missional message. Now, of course, Luther's saying it hits us first. The just will live by faith. Well, faith in the Lord who came for us. Well, once you're a found person, there's a compulsion then to say, well, who else can be brought into this found fold? And that's kind of the Reformational mission that we have today. That message is still the same, but it's compelled through people like us to a world in need.
In the United Kingdom, many people aren't really familiar with Lutheranism. So how is this message different from a message they might get in another church?
Well, I try to keep it as simple as I can, because a lot of people say that God died for you, Jesus died for you 2,000 years ago on the cross, and we teach that, they teach that. They even teach that you have to believe in that. That's the key to a relationship with God, is it's by faith. But here's that Lutheran uniqueness. God didn't just do that 2,000 years ago and isn't just waiting for you to accept it. He actually is coming all the way to you with words, water, bread, and wine to tell you that this message, this work that he accomplished is for you. And that's sacramental, and that's the gospel that we preach. That's the Jesus we preach in the Lutheran Church. And it's very exciting to hear that God comes all the way to where we are with things we can understand so we can know that we are loved by him. And that's what's preached in the Lutheran Church.
So it's all about bringing it home to me?
Well, it's about the fact that Christ did all things for everyone, but yes, he actually is coming all the way to you as if you were the only one he died for. I mean, that's when you start to think about that fact that you mean that much to Jesus. He died for the whole world, but he also died for you, and the message comes in words, water, bread, and wine to make sure you know that. And that's the Jesus we preach, and boy, I'll tell you what, it's exciting to know that he holds on to me like that.
And is this Jesus going to confront us at these conferences?
Yes, absolutely. And what that's also going to do for us is once you know that Jesus is willing to come all the way to a 100% sinner like you, and he was willing to do that, and you start to think about what did it take for Jesus to reach me, well, that's what compels us then to be in mission for our neighbor. You know, in the Lutheran Church, we have a very simple saying in our liturgies, faith towards God, right? God did everything, so we trust him. But then it says, and fervent love towards our neighbor. So once we know that we're saved by grace alone through faith, we're turned. And it's not God who needs our works. It's not God who needs our mission. It's the person who doesn't know God. So we're turned to our neighbor in love. And it's amazing that God is going to reach the world through forgiven sinners like us. Isn't that amazing?
So being a forgiven sinner means that I don't have to look to myself, but outside myself to my family or my coworkers?
Right. You look outside to yourself for your confidence, because your confidence is in Jesus, and then you look outside yourself for your mission and your life. And so there's a sense where God has a life for you to live, and he has a neighbor for you to love, and that's the reformational, missional aspect of that good news. And I think it's exciting to hear that, but what's really nice, and I think it's cool, is that God can work through people like us to reach other folks.
We've also talked about the conference on the 21st of May. How you're going to talk about the collision of two worldviews. How does the Christian's worldview differ from that than the common person on the street's worldview?
Well, here's the thing. Even we got to be careful, because even Christians, before they were Christians, there's a sense where Christ's kingdom is not of this world. And that, so when Christ comes into this world, his kingdom is going to collide with all of our kingdoms. What it finally means to be a Christian is to realize that all the kingdom building you were doing on your own, whatever that kingdom worldview was, whether it's a secular worldview, whether it's a scientific worldview, whether it's another religious worldview, if it's something you have to do to keep all things in balance, it's going to come to nothing. And so Christ's kingdom collides with us all, and it draws us all to his kingdom by grace through faith. And his is the only kingdom that lasts. So what we're going to talk about is, as Christians then, we move out into this world where all kinds of worldviews are colliding, and we're trying to say there's another kingdom that's here for us all. Can we tell you about it?
So not all roads lead to God?
No. It's just that there's a sense where Christ's kingdom is going to collide with their kingdom like it did with ours and call us to himself alone. And we just need to understand the dynamics of that so that we can be useful in Christ's hands to share his kingdom with others. I'll give you an example. In baptism, Christ literally came and his kingdom collided with your kingdom as a human being, and he rescued from this kingdom of darkness and drew you into the kingdom of light. So again, Christ's kingdom is going to collide with all of those and call all of those folks to himself alone. Christians understand that dynamic because Christ's kingdom collided with us first and called us to himself as well.
It sounds a bit like what took place during Passion Week when Jesus was accused of being the King of the Jews.
Yeah, so there's going to be a sense where all kingdoms of this world are temporalized, if you will. I don't want to say trivialized, because there is a certain vitality to them, but they are not the ultimate kingdom. But again, like you and I both know, if you become a Christian from another culture, for instance, there are certain things that suddenly either you have to give up or your culture demands of you, and your faith in Christ puts you in tension with that. Well, we need to understand that all people who become Christian are in that kind of tension with their kingdom kind of projects, and then to be called into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about those kinds of collisions and how we can be useful to God for our neighbor in the middle of them all.
Perhaps thinking about how Jesus used other metaphors about counting the cost. Does that fit into that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and just think about this. I mean, when Jesus was in front of Pilate, you have Barabbas, who was a kingdom builder in his own way, and then you have Jesus. And so, you know, Pilate says, which of these guys do you want? Do you want Barabbas or do you want Jesus? Well, we should all want Jesus, but his kingdom calls us to himself. They choose Barabbas. And right there you see a kingdom collision happening right in the gospel.
And whether we know it or not, we often pray, "Thy kingdom come," without thinking about the collision.
Well, and think about how the fact that even as Christians, we struggle with the fact that God says, here's my will for you, this is what I'd like for you, and we start to say, well, Lord, but I'd prefer to do it this way, or I'd prefer to do it that way. And that's also kingdom collision, even with the Christian walk.
Again, God's kingdom is all about mission.
Correct, and that's why I talk about Christian confidence in the middle of these collisions, because we need to understand our confidence is not in our nationality, our confidence is not in our language, our culture, our confidence finally is in Jesus Christ, and so we can be a bridge. That doesn't diminish the fact that we have cultural things we can be proud of or we can still value, but again, those are not the things that give us ultimate confidence and ultimate certainty, and so we want to have Christ confidence in the middle of those collisions so we can share Christ with others.
And it is the Christian faith that bridges all of these cultures so much better than any other religion we see around the world.
Well, absolutely. And what an amazing thing that having that confidence in Christ, we can see how we can be bonded to people who we have almost no other affinity to. I had a good friend who was from Liberia, and it was amazing. After we shared our faith, we were brothers, but we grew up in such radically different cultures, and here we were talking as if we were one family.
But how can we diffuse cultural tensions and build those bridges?
Well, I don't want to give away too much of it, but what we're going to say is that we were meant to be in the middle of these things. See, sometimes we think that God wishes us to be in the middle of harmony in the world in which we live, and what we need to realize is, no, we're sent as people of peace into the middle of all kinds of difficulties, because Christ's peace is unique. It's a gift. So we're going to talk about how we can diffuse cultural confrontation and those kind of things in our neighborhoods, and we're going to talk about how to be authentic neighbors to others so that we might be that voice for others. We're going to talk about building bridges. That means you're going to have to really truly learn to love other cultures, other languages, other people on their own terms if you're going to build a bridge of the gospel to them. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that. My ministries in LA and in New York were with multiple cultures, multiple people from all different parts of the world. You got to have a real love for folks if you're going to actually bridge the gospel to them. And we're going to talk about some skill sets there. But we're going to do that with the people, too, on the Reformation mission side a little bit as well.
But isn't that one of the criticisms often leveled against the church, and Lutherans in particular, that we want to bring people and make them like us, cookie-cutter Christians?
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is that, and sticking up for our theology a little bit, you know, we've often been told Lutherans don't have a view of sanctification, you know, a Christian life. And I think that's a little bit unfair. Here's why. Because when you think about what it means to live the Christian life, it's not a cookie cutter life that we live. It's not a don't this, don't that, don't this, don't that. It's really, who is my neighbor and what does my neighbor need? How do I need to love my neighbor so that he sees Jesus? And so, you know, I think about it. To be a Christian, a Lutheran Christian especially, your good works are really determined by who your neighbor is. And so, you know, your neighbor is different than my neighbor. And so to me, it's exciting to wake up every day and say, Lord, what neighbor are you going to bring into my life today? And then the Lord's going to empower you to be that kind of person for them. And I think that's an exciting way to live.
So we're not just saved from hell and sin and condemnation. We're saved for service.
Yeah, we're saved for service, we're saved for neighbor. I mean, who'd want to be saved and then not live in that good news? And but the point is that kind of good news needs to be shared, because, you know, we were meant to be with each other, we were meant to be in community, and that's why this is a Reformation mission.
And that is why the Reformation is still going so strong today. It is the only thing that can change our lives.
You know, what's really neat about what you just said there, too, is, and that's the only power that you need to be a person in mission for others. I think sometimes people think we have to be experts on this. And I'm going to talk to the church folks and say, no, you're already who God wants you to be for someone else.
So it's important to understand the ministry of vocation.
And what's wonderful about the ministry of vocation is, again, you know, as I said before, God has always worked through forgiven sinners. Well, forgiven sinners in various aspects of life, that's how he brings his good news to others. And folks always think, well, yeah, but pastor, don't we need like the expertise of a pastor to do this work? Well, there are times that you know we need to bring people back to Bible study and back to church for deeper answers to some of these things. But your witness, just where you are, of why Christ is so important to you, can mean so much. And so, again, God has put you where you are to be his good news agent for somebody else.
If someone asks you a question and you don't know the answer, you go look for it.
Yeah, and how about we walk together to find that answer? You know, we'll go to this person or that person who knows the scripture even better than we do. But again, you know the power of Christmas. You know the joy of Easter. You know what happened on Good Friday. Knowing those things and how it changes your life, you've already got a lot of the answers that people really need in this world today.
And that gives people confidence when they are afraid that they might not know the answers.
Yes. Well, you know what's neat? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is still one of my favorite verses. And if you go back, I'll just paraphrase it here. Think of what you were before you knew Jesus. You were no big deal. That's a paraphrase, folks. That's not the literal text. But then it says that, but Jesus became our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. And then it says, if you're going to boast about him. And so this confidence is not us boasting about ourselves. It's really boasting about Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's nobody like Jesus, no Savior like Jesus, and there's no word like his gospel in the world. So get to know that. And when you boast about that, people won't be, they may not always agree with you on it. They may not even accept it, but they won't be put off by it.
So if it's authentic, honest, and real life, you've got a chance?
Yes, you got a chance. And, you know, Jesus approached people the same way. He came at them very honestly, very authentically, and they said, wow, he speaks with authority. Now, we don't have that same, we have the same authority in a derived sense when we speak the word of God. But I'm telling you, if you try to boast about Jesus, it'll cut through a lot of the nonsense that's out there.
And as we come to the conclusion of our discussion, anything else that you'd like to mention, Pastor Seltz?
Well, first of all, I want to talk about how exciting it is to be with you guys, to come to England. I've never been, so I'll be coming across the pond and really enjoying my time with you. And I want to learn with you guys. I want to learn about the missional challenges that you have where you are, the missional opportunities that you have. One of the neat things about being the Lutheran Hour speaker is to go in other parts of the world, not as folks who have all the answers. Yes, we have our answer in Jesus. We know that's true. But we're learning together how that answer can be applied and shared in different cultures and different language groups, and we learn together. And so I'm kind of excited to come to England because I want to see, well, what's going on in your neighborhood, what's going on in your part of the world that's challenging you, and I'd love to learn together with you, and I hope that's what I'll bring with you, a little confidence in Christ, but a real openness to see what God can do with us together.
We live in a very challenging society. Many people here are very anti-church and anti-Christian. But there is also a wide cross-section of cultures and all kinds of people from many different nations.
Yeah, I think one of the things I'm excited about is, since I've been a city pastor most of my life before becoming Lutheran Hour speaker, like I used to always say about the urban environment, it strips you down. It strips you down, and it starts. It really says, what are you really confident in, and is that confidence going to hold? And I think that's, again, where our message of we preach Christ crucified and we boast about him, there's a point where even urban folks or folks who are getting hit with all these worldview collisions, they go, wow, tell us more about that because we've never heard about that. This isn't about Christian church. This isn't about religion. This is about a proclamation of liberation, forgiveness, and the gospel in Jesus Christ that really is eternal. Talk about that, and you're going to get a hearing even in tough places like New York or London.
And that's exactly what we need to hear. Because so many people here think that they are Christians because they love and tolerate everyone and they do good to their neighbors, but they don't understand the cross of Christ.
Well, and that's where you were talking about the Christian worldview. There is a Christian worldview, but you know, I hate to say this, you can have a Christian worldview and not be Christian. I think Dawkins, the atheist, said, I love living in a Christian worldview country. He was talking about living where you are, but he's not a Christian, obviously. So he likes the cultural accoutrements of the Christian worldview, but he doesn't believe in the Savior. Well, when it comes to the one that really matters, it's the believing in the Savior and the kingdom of God that lasts forever. That's the big deal in the Scripture. And so even the Christian worldview sometimes can get unmoored from Jesus Christ, and we're finding out some of that in the Western world.
It's just not matters of civility, but of salvation.
Exactly. So again, it's Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus. And I think we're getting to the point where we're going to have to be that bold about our proclamation.
Thank you, Dr. Seltz. And a reminder to all of our listeners that Dr. Seltz will be speaking at the Christian Resources Exhibition on Wednesday, the 18th of May at 4 p.m. And this exhibition is held at the London XL. And then he will be speaking at Resurrection Lutheran Church in Cambridge on Saturday, the 21st of May, for our Congregational Life Conference at 10 a.m. Everybody's invited, and we hope we might see you there. Again, Dr. Seltz, thank you, and God bless you in your ministry with the Lutheran Hour.
Thank you so much. God bless you, too. I can't wait to meet you both face to face.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.